Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo, Coney Live for the Build Ford Tough Studio.
So I don't know if you saw this over the weekend. Rich Cimini was writing an article about Aaron Glenn and what he's trying to accomplish here as the new Jets head coach and trying to change the culture. And we heard Aaron himself say, I want to move in the quiet spaces or quietly and just do my job and keep my head down. And the beauty of what Rich wrote in his article was the fact that Aaron's trying to create a lot of competition within the roster. He wants people in here fighting for jobs, and he knows, as a former player himself, the harder you fight for a job, the more competitive you will be on a Sunday or Monday night or Thursday night or Wednesday night or whenever the NFL has you scheduled.
Yeah.
He's creating what Rich had termed a meritocracy. Which I think is great. I think that's exactly the kind of environment that you want. And I'm sure that this is the Parcellian influence. This is the Dan Campbell influence. This is the whole influence, around what he's trying to do. And Dan Campbell came out at the owners' meetings and basically told Rich, he goes, if Aaron Glenn can't turn around the Jets, no one can. He goes, I will guarantee you that he will be the ultimate leader that you want in front of your franchise. So he comes in with all the accolades and all the support from everybody. And now it's going to be maybe a little bit of a tough year this year, depending on how Justin Fields works out. And would you be surprised if they traded out of the seventh spot to see if they can get a couple of draft picks next year, including somebody else's number one pick?
No, there's nothing that they could do in the draft that's going to knock me over. I think that everything's a possibility at this point in their organization. And I know that there's a lot of good players on the roster, and you could make a case that they could win some games this year. But I look at it differently. I think that there's just so many different things that they can do to improve this team. And there's a lot of guys that have on this roster, I think, that have been overrated the last couple of years. A lot of those guys on the defense as well, where you saw how last year, just defensively, they were nowhere near what we expected. So the one thing I'll say about Aaron Glenn is he's seen it firsthand in a number of places, going from really bad to really good. So he has experienced that. He experienced it with the Jets as a player. He experienced it with the Lions as a head coach. He never was the head coach in those instances, but he witnessed it, and he witnessed it get done correctly. So that's a good thing. It's just that things are so different here with this organization at this time. This isn't, back in the mid-90s with the Jets. This also isn't Detroit. It's a different place. It's a different job. And I know what he's trying to do, and I think that this is probably the best way of going about it. You just got to hope a couple things. One, the owner doesn't get involved. And two, that you didn't get teamed up with a stiff as the general manager who doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, that's why Rick Spielman's in the building. He's there to make sure that that doesn't go off the rails and help Darren Mooji make his decisions. I will say that when Parcells got here, in 97, he brought what is the most important ingredient to me for a coach to bring to a team, and that is accountability. Now, he had the credibility, and he had the history, and he had everything that you needed in order for him to come in and straighten out a franchise, and he did it relatively quickly. And he did it because he brought in a couple of his guys, and he also brought in what Aaron's trying to bring in here, competition to the roster. And nobody's safe, and everybody's going to have to compete. And if you compete in practice, you will compete on Sunday, and you will not give in. And I think that's kind of the mindset that Aaron's trying to build here, which is a good thing. After reading that article, I was pretty excited about seeing some of the things that were in that article and talking about the meritocracy and talking about competition within the roster and trying to get the mindset of the Jet player headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I'm not falling for any of it until I see them win some games. I've done this every single regime change. I've done it every second year of after a head coach's first year. I'm just not at the second year of a quarterback. I mean, I've done it every time. I'm just not doing it again with the Jets until I see some real results. I'm sick of saying, oh, it feels different this year. Oh, this guy's more mature after he got all the kinks out in the first year. It never ends up working out that way. It always ends up in full disaster. So, good. Work in the shadows, work quietly.
Well, I just said when Rex Ryan got here, he brought an energy and an intensity to the defense.
Yeah, and then ever since, you know, after those two successful years, I mean, the Jets have been just in the worst situation, one of the worst in the NFL.
Well, they've had some GM situations and difficulties for guys like Rex to survive, and who knows what was going on internally. You never know after the initial success. But I would just, you know, I think that Aaron has a chance to do something because of where the Jets are and the expectations attached to them. But both them and the Giants, when you think about the amount of games that they lost that were close, like what is it going to take for both teams to win those games this year as opposed to losing those games over the last few years? And what it's going to take, an uncompromising expectation and demand from the head coach. And I think that, like in the Giants case, they believe that Russell Wilson is going to give them enough offense that they should be able to hang in games and should be able to win games in the fourth quarter. That's as simple as that. It's not exciting. There's not very many options out there. But when you sit there and you watch Russell and you watch him play, you know, he's going to give you more than Daniel Jones gave you. Overall, I'm not saying when Daniel was playing his best, that's not who Russell is anymore. But Russell had good numbers with Pittsburgh last year. He just doesn't create, you know, that many big plays as he used to when he was a young kid. But he is safe. He does know what's going on, and he will get Malik Nabers the ball. And if they're fortunate enough to be able to draft Travis Hunter, that would be that. You know, you're getting a speed rocket. Like, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Giants have potential to actually be exciting this year for a number of reasons. And I think that the draft pick is going to be a big part of that. I don't think the Jets in this season have the potential to be exciting or inspiring. This is like a, you know, year one of building things up. You got to really, like, you know, look through the trees with year one of this Aaron Glenn regime. I mean, if they end up, you know, being tough and winning some games and closing some games out, and Justin Fields is better than he's been, and they win seven games somehow, I mean, that would be awesome for them.
Don't you think, like, the Jets, they definitely need an offensive lineman. We know that. They need a tackle. We understand that, and there's going to be a couple guys there, or maybe at least one guy there that could be, you know, you're starting right tackle opening day, you can feel pretty comfortable about it. But they also could think, you know what, let's trade. And I always say, if you do trade, and somebody's willing to give you next year's first-round pick and swap picks with you this year, you really got to make sure that you know, like, you don't want to be trading with the Kansas City Chiefs. You know what I'm saying? Because you know they're going to be good, and you know that pick, while it would be a first-round pick, it's not going to be at the top of the draft. If you can make a deal with somebody that you think may end up with a top-10 pick next year.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, that team that's trading with you is not thinking that way. The team that's trading with you is thinking we're going to be towards the bottom of the draft. It's not going to matter as much.
Well, I'm saying it goes into my thinking that, let me see, how good is this team going to be this year? Is this team going to win its division? Is this team going to make it to the playoffs? Or is this team going to be a bottom third team? And is there a chance that we may be a bottom third team next year too? So that would give us two picks in the top 10 in the 2026 draft.
Yeah, I mean, this is...
That's how you got to think.
Right, and this is going to be the first time we see what Darren Mooji and this scouting department is in this draft, the things that he likes, you know, what he ends up doing. Is he someone that likes to trade? So it's all brand new for the Jets. But, I mean, I think that the expectations, like what do you set up for their expectations coming up this year? I mean, like I said, I think that a 7-win season would be...
That would be an improvement. That'd be a 2-game improvement.
I mean, that would be pretty good. I mean, I hate to say it, but it'd be pretty good.
It's like Dan Campbell when he took over in Detroit. I know it was a little...
The first year wasn't great, but then he kept building and building.
But he kept building and building, but he was holding people accountable. He was, you know, running these competitive practices. You know, he comes from the old school, but he also has to adjust to the new school player. And I think it's one of the things he also said about Aaron is that he does connect with the players. So that's a good thing.
But we heard that about Rob Saleh was a player's coach and everybody.
No, I don't think that this, I think they're completely different people. And I just think that Aaron comes in with a Parcellian background. That's what I'm saying.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Penn State edge rusher Abdul Carter had breakfast Sunday in State College with Giants head coach Brian Daboll. Carter is now scheduled to visit the Giants on Thursday in New Jersey. He figures to be a top three pick. Obviously, the Giants picking third. Then Art Stapleton quote tweeted that or quote posted that and said, Giants will have a wave of visits between now and Wednesday. We always anticipated that Abdul Carter would be among the visitors. But then this was, to me, a more definitive statement. If Cleveland doesn't take him, he'll more than likely be a Giant. So that means that even if Shador Sanders were there, Art Stapleton believes, because we think Cam Ward's going one, that if Shador's there and Abdul Carter's there, that Abdul Carter is going to be the pick and not Shador Sanders, which is something I did not think would happen, but there's a lot of momentum building towards that, and you do have to pay attention to the betting markets on these things. That's something, not something you could bet on in New York on FanDuel Sportsbook because of the rules and things that are chosen by human beings can't be bet on in the state of New York. You can do it in other places. You can do it in New Jersey, but you know, a draft pick or an MVP vote or things like that, you can't bet on in New York. So I can't necessarily see the odds on my FanDuel Sportsbook app. But if you look in other places on the internet where you can bet it, now the betting favorite for Shador Sanders, the team that is most likely, according to the books, to get Shador Sanders, is the New Orleans Saints. So those two things yesterday I thought were significant. As we mentioned before, some of these things that we hear you have to take with a grain of salt, not all of them. It seems, you know, looking at the guys who cover the team day in and day out and have the relationships, you know, within the building, you really got to look through what they're saying to find out what's going on. If you go all the way back to February 26th, Art Stapleton has a post and an article that he has pinned to his profile.
Okay.
And it says, Giants need a franchise quarterback. Abdul Carter says winning teams need a franchise pass rusher. So could the Penn State star convince Big Blue to go with him instead? He'll get his opportunity, telling me he's already met with the Giants here. He's got that still pinned over a month later.
Yeah.
And so it seems to me that he's basically telling us without telling us that Abdul Carter's there, that's their guy.
And basically what you're also hearing is that, you know, people just, they don't want to deal with Shador Sanders. It's not that he can't play in this league. I do believe he will be a success in this league only because he believes so much in himself. And I think that's the first hurdle you got to get over. I don't think there's any lack of confidence. I think he's got more than enough arm strength. He's your quintessential pocket passer. So all of that stuff, I will say, that it's positive for him. He's just not an explosive player. He's not like a 6'5", you know, got a howitzer for an arm, runs with the ball and makes secondary plays. That's just not who he is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, your boy Mel Kiper likes him more than Cam Ward, and I don't think he's doing that just to get attention. I mean, he's a guy who is going to say what he believes and put his neck out there for him. But I don't necessarily know if it's that they don't want to deal with Shador Sanders as much as they maybe don't think his talent is worthy of a top five pick. Maybe that's what it is.
I'll go back to what I said way back when. If these quarterbacks in last year's draft, they would have been drafted, past all the guys, after all the guys that had already gone. You know, it's just that you have three teams at the top of the draft that need some sort of quarterback answer for the foreseeable future. And I don't think they're all sold. Even though Cam Ward is explosive and he is a good athlete and he sounds like he's a really good kid and he sounds like he's a really good leader, and the Tennessee Titans have been trying to, you know, figure out who their quarterback is since Steve McNair left. So I you know, it makes sense to me. That one makes sense to me. But, you know, if the Browns don't take a quarterback, what are they doing?
Well, what are the Giants doing if they don't take a quarterback?
Well,
I
know what the Giants are doing. They have Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston and Tommy DeVito here. That doesn't mean that they're not going to take one of these other quarterbacks later in the first round if they could draft or trade back up in the first round. Maybe Cleveland will trade back up in the first round, and they'll draft one of these other younger quarterbacks, whether it be Tyler Shuck or whether it be Jackson Dart or whether it be Jalen Milroe or whoever. You know, Kyle McCord, maybe they will draft one of those guys. I got to believe both of those teams will be drafting one of those young kids.
Yeah. I mean, I know we talk so much about the top of the draft and busts there and all of that. I mean, I just, if you take a guy second round, third round, chances are you also don't think that guy's going to be your franchise quarterback. If you have evaluated all of the quarterbacks, and I'm sure that, I mean, I don't think that they'd have Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck or any of these guys ahead of Cam Ward and Shador Sanders. If you evaluate all those guys and were like, all right, you know, Cam Ward, Shador Sanders are better than these guys, we don't like Shador enough to take him with number three, but now we're going to bring in Jackson Dart or Tyler Shuck down here and then hope that maybe he could be the franchise quarterback. You're just wasting a pick.
I will say this, that Tyler Shuck has all the attributes physically that I'm sure Brian Daboll is enamored with. Now, and, you know, he's had some injuries. He's older. He seems to be past all those injuries. That's why he was able to make it through the entire season with Louisville. So could I see the Giants going after him later on because of his physical attributes? Sure. I could definitely see that.
Okay. Yeah,
I think the Giants are passing now. Like, I go back and forth, vacillating back and forth of all this, and I think the Giants have done a really good job of kind of camouflaging what they're doing. There really hasn't been a leak at all. And I think if you follow Art Stapleton, who's got his ear to the ground in regards to the Giants, there's like a caveat word that's being used. And that caveat word is like, seems like, looks to be, you know, that those kind of words. Like,
well, he said most likely.
Yeah, I mean, most likely is another one of those words. It's John Heyman's words in the offseason.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, maybe, you know, seems to be, I don't know, most likely to me is a bigger one. I mean,
I still say most Giant fans, if Abdul Carter is there, they're going to want him. They're going to want him. You know, and I keep telling you, the other one, if the Jets or the Giants decided to take Mason Graham out of Michigan, I'd be good with that too.
Yeah, I just don't know where the Giants are going to find the future of that position. And now, like, I know it's a big if, but if Cam Ward ends up having a good rookie season or shows something like, you know, the other three quarterbacks last year did, I mean, that is just unbelievable. The Giants, 2 years in a row, won meaningless games, one with Tommy DeVito and two against an Indianapolis team that I've never seen play so bad in my life. To knock them out of a spot to draft a franchise quarterback 2 years in a row.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunate. But unless they get one of the other guys late that turns out to be something, which is also a very, you know, real thing.
Okay, I mean, but not around here. It's not. I mean, guys like Kyle Loletta and Christian Hackenberg.
Yeah,
and
I know. Else. I mean, it's long and illustrious when it comes to the draft being littered with busts. There's no question about that. And, you know, I was thinking like Will Levis down in Tennessee. Like, they've given him every opportunity, and he just can't play a game without making a just colossal error.
Yeah.
And, you know, the thing that I believe about Shador Sanders is the same thing that I believed about Patrick Mahomes. It's what has he been surrounded by his entire life? He's been surrounded by professional athletes his entire life. He's had pressure on him because of his last name his entire life. That's the one thing that I believe that will allow Shador Sanders to be a success. That the one other thing that I think that could lead him to be a complete bust could be the mindset of entitlement.
Yeah, I know where you're coming from with that. I don't think they're going to have any of those issues. I really think that the thing I worried about with him is just the actual talent level of playing in the NFL. I do think mentally he's going to be fine. He'll be able to handle it. He has gone through a lot of stuff that, you know, not, you know, every single college kid goes through, with the attention that he's had on him since he was a kid.
Yeah, most kids don't drive my box on campus, that's for sure.
So I'm driving in, I'm thinking about Sam Rosen and the stuff we talked about yesterday and how this season, this Rangers season, is a mess for him, even though they end up not getting eliminated by the Islanders last night and somehow scored 9 goals at 9-2 when they're on the life support here. But they're done, and he's not going to go to the playoffs. It's going to be a miracle if they make it to the playoffs. So I was thinking about all the guys that have come through here currently doing play-by-play. As we said goodbye to John Sterling last year, we're saying goodbye to Sam Rosen this year. And I there's so many great New York play-by-play guys that have come through and are still doing it. So I was trying to rank them in my head. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. Not a lot going on. I'm doing a list today, God damn it. I'm going to go straight to Sports Talk Radio list.
All right.
We're going to do a list. We don't do a lot of lists around here. And I'm doing a freaking list. So I went to you before the show and I asked all these guys. I said, give me your top 5 New York play-by-play guys of your lifetime. Now, we're just doing play-by-play. So the listeners that are out there, you know, you want to say like John Davidson, you want to say Keith Hernandez. We're not doing it. We're doing play-by-play guys who call the games. So I'm going to give you mine first. All
right? That's good. I didn't know we were doing this right out the gate, so mine's outside, but I can...
You want to go get it?
No, I'm fine. I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive.
You want to go get it?
I'm good.
Did you remember it correctly?
Well, yeah, I mean, yes. I was
going
still,
out to go get it.
I thought we were... No, because I have to print it. I still thought there were going to be some parameters to it, but now I see what it is. We're good.
Oh, you
I'm
got
good.
It.
Yeah, I'm
all
good.
Right. All right. Here we go. My 5 and 4 are two guys, teams I don't root for, but the reason why they're on my list is because when these guys don't call these games for these teams, it doesn't sound right.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Number 5, Sam Rosen.
Okay.
And I'm not a Ranger fan, but when he's gone and someone else is going to be doing these games full time, it's not going to sound right. And then just his voice and the power play goal and everything, he's got to be there. And number 4, the last guy that we would said goodbye to from a career standpoint, John Sterling.
Sure.
I mean, no disrespect to anybody else. When John's doing the game, sounds different. When those younger guys were doing it during the season, John comes back, just his voice and everything. Yep. I understand.
Takes some getting used to. You're right.
I know his eyesight was going there towards the end, whatever. It's just a different experience listening to him do the game. Number 3, Mike Breen.
Mm-hmm.
I love him calling a basketball game, calling Knicks games. Obviously, he's one of the best in the business because he's doing the NBA finals. Just so smooth, so good. Just can't say enough good things about Mike Breen. Number 2, Howie Rose.
Okay.
Howie Rose. Now, I think Gary Cohen's one of the best in the game as well, but there's a difference now doing TV for as long as Gary's been doing it and Howie's been doing radio. And baseball on the radio is one of those things. You have to be the most skillful play-by-play guy to be able to do baseball on the radio. And Howie's doing it, and his calls last year were tremendous during the playoffs. And, of course, he called every game going through the playoffs where SNY is off the air. So it's got to be Howie. And then number 1, I think, is just, it's an obvious one. Has to be. I was lucky enough to share a moment with this man in Green Bay with Boomer Esiason, and that is none other than Marv Albert, who is, I mean, I don't know how that doesn't make everybody's list, but number 1 is Marv for obvious reasons.
Well, but how much did you listen to him on the radio?
I didn't say I listened to him on the radio.
All right.
I listened to him on TV.
No, this wasn't a radio list. Just New York play-by-play
guys.
Yeah,
New York play-by-play.
Okay.
Yeah, boy, well, what poo-pooing your list, right?
Why are you poo-pooing Marv?
Well, for me, it's
Marv it's called more Knicks game.
It's more radio to me. You know, that's the real...
Okay.
Well, that's why everybody's list is everybody's list.
And it's different.
Right. I mean, you know, Breen doing TV. Is Breen doing TV?
Correct.
You know?
All right, so I will tell you for me, and I actually, and I didn't realize it was just New York, so I actually had Summerall and Madden as a combination on those, so they're off the list.
I did tell you New York. I must have not.
Yeah, no, my bad. So they're off the list. Right. And I also took it into effect when you say lifetime. So I'll give you 1-2 for different reasons. And this goes back to when I was a kid. The soundtrack of my house growing up from the time I was probably 10 years old when he started is Sam Rosen. Like, it is, when I think back to my childhood, I've told you this before, like, my dad was a huge Rangers fan, and the Rangers were on on TV in our house every single night they were on. And so I feel like I grew up listening to Sam Rosen, which now 40 years later, I'm 51 and he's, you know, heading to retirement. It's weird, it's sad, but, you know, I can't think of my childhood in sports without thinking of Sam Rosen. So he actually is number 1, which sounds
crazy.
Wow. Yeah, and I know... I don't want to say there are better because I think he's the best at what he does. I know Devil fans will probably get mad at me. What about Mike Emmerich? Yeah, yes, Doc Emmerich was phenomenal. There's no doubt. But for me as a kid, hearing the voice of Sam Rosen and to hear him be as good as he is now as he was then, he's actually 1-2 for different reasons because I actually got into this business, A, because of Sam Rosen, and B, because of Bob Murphy. Murphy for me was... the sound of the Mets in the summer because they'd be on the radio and we'd be outside barbecuing or doing whatever. And when I started to think I wanted to do sports radio, more so play-by-play as a kid. It was listening to Bob Murphy. I always thought, it's so funny, I was telling my son the other day, I grew up thinking, once I heard Bob Murphy do baseball, I grew up thinking that I would call, and Sam Rosen, for a living, I wanted to call hockey and baseball games.
Wow. And you're doing basketball.
I do basketball and football, which right. is kind of funny. But yeah, so those for me are 1-2. And for different reasons, obviously. Marv is on the list. Has to be. And then after that, I find it very difficult to come up with 4 and 5 because if I say Breen, I got Ian. And to me, they're 1 and they're 1A. And I can't separate
the two.
Hey, man,
I had to make some difficult decisions. You got to do it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it.
You got Howie, Marv. You got Gary.
Yeah, I know. But I gave you the reason why I went with Howie over Gary.
So here's what I'm going to say now to that. I'm going to go back to, we said the Lifetime. This might sound crazy, but Kiner and McCarver.
Okay, so
the same thing with Bob Murphy. Like when they were on Sports Channel, that's who I was watching, or PIX.
So your list is, Jerry, your list is 1 Sam.
Yeah.
Your list is
Bob Murphy 2.
2 Bob Murphy, 3 Marv, 4.
I'm going to go with the booth of Kiner and McCarver.
So that's 4 or 5.
No, because to me they're packaged.
They all right,
because
all right.
they split the games. All it was right, the
I'll
sound.
Allow, I'll allow it. Kiner McCarver, and then you got to give me a 5th.
I got to give you a 5th.
You got to give man. Me a 5th.
Brad Sham. No.
Emmanuel Babari.
Does a nice kid doesn't make the list. Not yet. Yeah. Can I say Ian and Breen?
You got to pick one.
Pick one.
Yeah.
That's killer.
We have such good announcers in this town. We really have had great announcers in this town. I mentioned Kenny Albert, Bob Schusen, Bob Papa, Carino. I'm going to go Ian.
Okay, Ian number 5.
I'll go Ian.
All right, so that list.
Nah, I bump him for Noah.
yes, all right, a couple of things there because there's guys, great names there that I don't have on my list. And this is like a personal thing.
For different
thing.
Reasons, yeah.
Yeah, for different reasons. Yeah. So one, I didn't listen to a ton of Bob Murphy because I was either watching the Mets on TV
sure. yep.
or I was at the games and I wasn't listening to the radio while mm-hmm. I was at the games. Where I really appreciated the radio play-by-play is when I started working here.
Understood.
And when I started working here and I would do the Mets games yeah. when we had the Mets back then, I would listen to those guys all the time. So it's not, I don't think that Bob Murphy deserves to be on the list. For me personally, mm-hmm. in my lifetime, I didn't listen to him yeah. as much as I listened to the other guys. And then Doc Emrick, who is the best.
Amazing.
There we go. Look, Tim and Ralph are great.
That's, yeah, see that?
I want to be on Kiner's Corner in 2002. A little Geo
that's
right there.
That's cool.
Back in a Mets game in a full uniform as a child.
Yeah.
So then
that looks like they're little rascals.
Yeah, I know. Because it was in black and white.
I know.
That's why.
Crazy.
And then Doc Emrick, who is the best
absolutely.
Hockey play-by-play guy there ever was. But that's not fair. I was thinner than that. They put Spanky next to me. That's not fair. You guys in there.
He does, though. That photo yeah. of you looks like it's 1938.
I know. I agree.
It's grainy. Yeah. It's black and white. Right. It's funny.
Stephen Waldron getting a shot in there before he leaves at 7 o'clock today.
And they had that ready, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know,
that's great.
Which is incredible. And then, Doc, I just... For me, Doc Emrick was the national hockey guy. He called the finals. And I just, you know, growing up on Long Island, not like listening to or watching a ton of Devils games. I did when I was younger
because
I was so into it. But it was just like the Rangers, Islanders, Devils stuff. But he's the greatest there is. But for me, you know, I associate him more with the Pittsburgh Pirates than I do just about anything because he was the biggest Pirates fan and he would go to all the games.
I didn't know that.
He used to show up at Pittsburgh all the time. So he, but that's a good list. It's a great list.
It's a different list, and like I say, it sucks that for all these years we haven't been able to get Sam on.
Yeah.
Whether it's been to talk about the NFL because he did it for Fox, I think for
yep.
years and years mm-hmm. and years. All the national stuff he did with the NHL, but most importantly with the Rangers. And I've tried. I think 3 or 4 times the last couple of years. And maybe when he retires, I will be. Maybe this summer when you guys are off, I'll be able
yeah.
to. Love to have him come in. I think he lives in the city. That would be like a
bucket list thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about a bucket list thing, but that
full
would be
circle
something
moment?
To kind of check the box. Like,
yeah.
You know what? That's really cool to get him in because I think of that 10-year-old that used to hear him in the house every night.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think so.
All right.
Another guy I thought of was Jim Carvallis.
Yeah.
The Knicks play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
Now, it's going back
before
a ways.
My time, but I know how
Had a cool voice.
You know, loved him was Rich Ackerman. Rich Ackerman,
I believe it, sure.
Loved him. Used to talk about him all the time. All right, Eddie, let's go. Now, you have different criteria. You think it has to be radio. That's fine. Everybody's list is their list, so let's hear what you got.
All right. I'm going to go with Jim Carvallis, who...
Oh, interesting.
Jerry just mentioned.
And you're going 5-1, right?
Yes, correct. And then I'm going to go with Gary Cohen.
All right, number four. Very good.
Again, more based on the years he did on the radio.
Gotcha.
And then I'm going to go with Howie.
Number three, all right.
Both Rangers and Mets. And then, of course, John Sterling.
Okay, number two.
And Murph.
All right.
For me, again, this is very personal, what I grew up with.
Gotcha.
And for me, play-by-play on the radio is just a cut above.
And that's why Marv's not on your list.
Because I was too young to experience him on the radio.
Okay. But on TV, you did listen to Marv call games on television.
Of course.
Yeah, but just different for you. All right, that's fine. I'm not gonna sit here and slam your list. Now, Al Dukes. Al Dukes is last here. We'll get CeeLo's in a little bit. Al, give me your top five.
I'll go John Sterling.
Number five.
Marv Albert.
Number four.
Howie Rose.
Number three.
Gary Cohen.
Number two.
Tim McCarver.
Wow. All right. You are the only one, Al, that put Gary over Howie in this group.
Yeah, and I don't know if that was because for me, I'd never listened to Howie on the radio.
Yeah.
And I started more watching the Gary, Keith, and Ron show.
Right. Yeah, I could totally understand that. Now, both those guys, when they were on the radio, it was 1 and 1A.
Absolutely.
It was like you couldn't pick.
Yeah.
But I just think the reason for me now I have to go Howie is just because he's still on the radio.
Oh, he's great.
He's had all these different partners.
Yep.
I mean, he's just, during the playoffs, the home run calls are essential to listen to.
I also don't like that he doesn't do the games, the whole games. I mean, what are we doing? So many times, the essential call is not Howie Rose. He's sitting in the booth and not doing the call.
What is interesting, though, I think that's the norm. John was the outlier that did all nine innings.
That is true. So most places, and I don't know, but most places have the two play-by-play guys. And they switch the innings because it's 162 games. They do as many games as they can. But like, yeah, when it was Howie and Gary, you know, they split the innings, but you would never have any drop off. You know, it's just hard for a guy like Keith Redd. He's not going to sound like Howie at this age. And maybe when he gets to Howie's age, he'll sound as good as Howie. But you just notice the drop off now more.
Well, it's the story. It's for me. And we've talked about this before, I think, in the podcast, like when you're doing baseball on the radio, and this is why I actually like listening to it when I am home or, you know, outside or driving. It's the storytelling. Howie tells just great stories because he's had a lifetime in the business and around baseball that the younger guys don't have yet. And it takes time. So if you're going to put, again, no disrespect to Emmanuel, who...
You can sit on my face.
Okay, thank you. Nuts and bolts wise, very good.
Yeah.
He's, what, 24 years old?
Right,
so how can he tell stories from 1982 when he wasn't alive, whereas Howie's got stories going back to Seaver and through the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And it's just, it's almost like you're listening to a talk show and then he's giving you the play-by-play in between.
Which is also perfect for the baseball radio
audience.
Absolutely,
100%.
That's what they want.
No doubt.
Because they're older and they love the sport. They love the stories about it. So, something a little different this morning.
Yep.
Throwing that out there and then just some homage to Sam Rosen and all the great play-by-play guys that have come through here. We'll get CeeLo's coming up in a couple of minutes, and we'll get his update as well. It's Boomer and Geo on a Feel Good Friday.
When you do a golf tournament, because I don't bet on golf.
It's fun.
I know it is, but I only bet on golf when I play. Because I know I'm going to win, especially when I'm playing Wally Szczerbiak.
It's
a little Wally cash coming my way, baby.
Indeed, yeah.
Hey, by the way, all right, so... What are your determining factors, and how many guys do you bet on?
Well, I mean, this year is going to be a little bit different. There's also the types of ways that you do it. So I'm going to be in a pool where you select five golfers where there is no salary cap or anything on it like a daily fantasy would have. And I'm also going to be playing FanDuel Daily Fantasy where there's dollar amounts attached to the guys. So you can't, you have to have your cap and all your golfers within the cap. So, my approach to what the pool is going to be is different to that. But, it's six golfers on FanDuel Fantasy. It's five golfers in the pool. And then I'll just be making some other, top 20 bets, maybe a top 10 bet. So, for example, you know, in where I can pick just about anybody. I don't want to give away some of these things, though. You know what I'm saying? I'm not ready to give these away. But there are in the pool where I could pick anybody. I'm going to build around the three guys that I like the most.
Okay.
And then the other two guys, I'm going to do four entries. And then the last two, I'm just going to, of the list of the other guys that I really like, you know, I'm going to do different combinations of it. But, I mean, for me, it's, if you are getting away in any sort of pool situation where you could pick anybody, if you're getting away from Scotty and Rory, you are overthinking this thing way too much. So those two guys are there. Now you got to think about, all right, that next tier now. And I think Colin Morikawa is going to be head and shoulders over the rest of the guys, the way that he plays Augusta, the way he's been playing. Is he going to choke on Sunday? Those are always questions that we have to ask. Then you got to start thinking about the live guys. Which guys there do you believe are going to play well? So I have determined those guys and which ones I picked out.
Let me just ask you this question, and this has nothing to do with your betting. I have no idea about how anybody is playing on the live tour. I don't even know how many tournaments they've played. I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't care. It doesn't matter one iota to me.
Yeah.
So you are obviously aware of that.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, if I'm going to bet the Masters and I'm going to be involved in this, then I have to know how
it's
going.
There's no way that Dustin Johnson can even come close to winning the Masters, given the way that he's played and it's kind of fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah, which is an interesting one because he still is hitting the ball unbelievably well, and he's someone who doesn't care about these live tournaments at all.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, you got to focus in for 72 holes,
right.
4 days, pressure, and you're going to tell me that you think that he's a potential.
That's not what I was going to say at all.
Okay.
What I was going to say is he's an interesting one because it wouldn't be surprising to me if he went out on Thursday and was in the top 10 on Thursday, but like, is he going after day one? But is he going to keep that up throughout the rest of the tournament? Does he still have that ability to do so? He is so good and he's won there before. Like, he's something, you know, he wouldn't surprise me if he did well, but he's not on my short list of people that I'm picking. Of the live guys, he is not one of the live guys
that
I'm going with.
When he first burst onto the scene, you know, everybody was jacked. Like, he could have been like the answer to Tiger Woods, like the next coming of a great, like, golfer that could hit the ball a mile, and he had the look about him. He looked great, and then he got in trouble with a little cocaine and all that other stuff.
Yeah, and then, a little cocaine, a little girlfriend, a little trip and fall, a little whatever.
But then it became when the Liv basically put the money in his pocket and everything. It was like he completely lost what it would take to be like a Masters champion or a major champion, I thought. I don't know. That's me. I like, what a waste of great talent.
Yeah.
And he got paid a lot of guaranteed money. And I kind of feel like he's the prime example of what happened when you get paid guaranteed money and you don't have to earn it. Now, I'm not saying he didn't deserve it. I mean, you know, if I were
living. He did earn it, but then didn't, you know, he
now
earned,
he's got it. What's right. He doing with it?
Exactly. Yeah, there's a different, that's the different designation there. And he doesn't care what anybody thinks. And I really believe him when, you know, I actually wish I had part of that personality. I wouldn't want to just completely not care about my game, which I don't think he completely doesn't care about his game, but he's not as focused. But he really, like, when he says he doesn't care what people think of him, he really doesn't care.
I'm saying is that his personal life is great. They look like they have a lot of fun. She's all over Instagram with him, and it's fantastic. That part of the life for him is a 10, it looks like. But his golf game, I mean, that was the beauty of everybody playing together and having to play for something as opposed to having something guaranteed.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And John Rahm says he misses it, right? I think Brooks Koepka kind of falls a little bit in that category because he felt like, you know, maybe he couldn't win a Masters anymore or a major anymore because of the injuries, and then he comes back and wins one.
Right, he does. So, yeah, I mean, there's different guys. You know, you get, you know, someone like Phil who goes there and is completely inspired because of all the negativity. They had to get in the best shape of his life and start playing great again. You had someone like Bryson who is as popular as he's ever been. So, you know, some guys went there and fell off the face of the earth, and others have gone there and found a different gear. So that's another part of it, you know. And then, you know, there's guys who is, you know, younger guys that you like, all right, you know, Ludvig Åberg last year came in second. He missed the last two cuts, but he is a machine. You know, are what are you doing with him? You know, there's so many different levels of this, and I've become a complete nerd in it, but I can't wait. But I've got my short list down of guys I really like, and you know, I think you have to. You know, I mean, the most interesting thing outside of the gambling part of it is going to be the Scotty Rory thing. In
can Scotty win three out of the last four,
and can Rory actually do it? One. And the way that those guys are playing right now, man, it has the potential to be massive. And
you know, it would be great if you had Scotty and let's say Bryson in one twosome, and you had Rory and maybe John Rahm in the other.
Yeah, I see. I don't,
and that would be the final two pairings on Sunday.
You know, it would be even better, I think, would be like Scotty and Colin and Rory and Shane Lowry, and because it's a Ryder Cup year, because those guys really don't like one another, you know, when it comes to those things. And when it gets down to the Ryder Cup, I think the LIV PGA thing is kind of, I don't know, it's softened a little bit. I think all that's kind of in the past.
Well, President Trump is basically saying they're going to try to, you know, get these groups together, and hopefully that will happen for me, it's the game of golf. You know, they keep talking about growing the game of golf. All they're talking about is growing the money pot for the players who are playing golf.
Yeah, just like every other sport.
Yeah, exactly. You know? So what I hear, we're growing the game of golf. The only thing, in a way, that they did grow it is that because of all those players that left to go to LIV, it gave other players an opportunity to win some big tournaments that you would have never heard of before.
Sure.
Even like the Texas Valero Open. 30 guys in there you've never heard of before.
No, I know. I mean, and which is not great for the PGA Tour, but you know, if you're someone who's gambling on it, you could definitely find some, you know, some value in there if you pick some of these guys. But I think that, like, betting those things and ramping up to the Masters, if you're going to play the Masters, meaning gamble on the Masters, then it's critical to see how those guys are doing. And you know, there's also, you know, stats on people who have played the week before and then how they did the Masters, guys who take that week off, you know, stuff like that. This is another one of those things where, you know, we talk about head coaches and whether or not to fire them, and it's really a lot has to do with who's available at the time. Now, I don't know the relationship with Leon Rose and Mike Malone, or Jim Dolan and Mike Malone, but you would imagine, you know, Malone being a New York guy, you know, and his family having ties to the Knicks organization and him having ties to New York and the organization, that would be something that at least would be an interesting conversation to have if things went haywire in the playoffs for the Knicks, wouldn't it?
I would think so, yeah.
I mean, like we talked about when Belichick became available with the Giants, it was like, man, you don't want to fire a guy after 2 years or whatever it was, but, I mean, Bill Belichick's out there.
Yeah.
You might have to think about it.
And that, you know, when you go back to the conversation on the Odyssey app that we had at 6 o'clock and the way you started the show with, you know, the idea of Tibbs possibly being on the hot seat, I don't even think possibly. I think a lot of fans would say likely on the hot seat. You know, when you've got a guy out there that's got ties to the Knicks, that has won an NBA title, that has dealt with a superstar in Jokic that we know and handled him quite well, all of a sudden, like, that seat gets hotter because you could see a viable replacement for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the recent success, you know, in winning a title, and I know that it went haywire down there for him, and I'm not sure exactly why. I mean, sometimes just the message just isn't the same. You know, a number of years in, the same guys that are hearing the same stuff. You know, you bring that coach in somewhere else, and that message is different and might resonate with them a little bit better. But I still like Tibbs. This is not a conversation about advocating to fire him,
no.
Especially not knowing what the result is going to be. I just know, especially these days, where there's just so much more pressure and so many owners that are moving on quickly. And I'm sure that Jim Dolan loves Tibbs for being a part of this resurgence. But it's just, it's going to be something if they ever, God forbid, lost in the first round or got swept by the Celtics. And that would be a conversation. And also, I think it might not even be a deal where, you know, they say, hey, Tibbs, you're not doing a good job. You're fired. You know, Leon Rose might say something like, hey, Tibbs, this is not your fault. I put together a team that doesn't fit your style of coaching and I screwed up.
Which I happen to agree with that. And let's also not lose sight of the fact that this team, for, you know, we talked about the last 20 years and, you know, year here, year there, fine. This is back-to-back 50-win seasons. So the notion that, and I've heard this too, and I don't think you're wrong, where you can say at some point the message starts to get mixed or maybe it's not heard, and maybe there is some truth to that. But There's also truth to the fact that Jalen Brunson missed 5 weeks. There's truth to the fact that Mitchell Robinson wasn't around for much of the season. There's truth in the fact that they have won 50 games. And, you know, does it suck that in front of them right now are the Celtics and, of course, the 60-win Cavaliers? Yes. But they have accomplished something that not many Knicks teams have done in a long time. So while the messaging might not be maybe where you want it to be, it also hasn't been lost yet. Not in my mind, anyway.
Yeah, and these guys, you know, you talk about that roommates podcast a lot with Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson and how they had Tibbs on, and there's also been moments where he called them while they were doing the podcast. You can hear him talking to Jalen Brunson and the relationship that they have. I mean, and that's something that you really can't put a price on either. You know, and Jalen's a guy that's probably an easily get-along guy, even though he's become a superstar in his own right. But it's just, and you want to see it through with Tibbs if you can, but.
I'll tell you this, watching that podcast with Dolan, he certainly made it sound as if they are just in the beginning phase of this with Tibbs and this group that they have assembled. It didn't sound like or look like, especially if you want to read facial expressions and the way they were having the conversation, it certainly didn't seem to me at that time that there was even a thought that they're looking for a new coach.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we were going to see a new coach as the other Garden team in the Rangers. 100%. There's just absolutely no way that Peter Laviolette's coming back.
No question.
And if Torts is a... But I mean, you know, C-Mac asked this same question the other day, and it's something we've talked about here briefly, and I never really get a good answer from Boomer on this. But, like, the NHL head coach gets fired more than anybody else. And also gets rehired more than anybody else.
About as retread a league as you will find.
But, you know, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Like you've seen these guys, like a Laviolette, go from one place to another and go win a cup.
How about Torts?
Yeah, same thing.
Been all over the place.
Right.
Peter DeBoer has been all over the place. In Dallas now, I believe.
Wayne Vigneault.
Yeah.
That's another guy. He's been everywhere.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it's just, but it's so strange. That retreads like that. I mean, how many, imagine an NFL coach getting fired.
I mean, in fairness.
Six different times and still having a job?
Yeah. I mean, in fairness, the Rangers did try to hire, I forget what his name was at the time. Remember they hired the Wolfpack head coach for that 1 or 2 years? And it did not go well. So it's not like they haven't tried thinking outside the box. They have.
Quinn, right?
Was that who it was? Yeah, it might have been. But it didn't work. So you go with what you think is a known commodity, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you get the opposite effect. You got people out there saying that the Rangers should bring Tortorella back. I mean, based right, I mean, you talk about the conversation we're having right now, there are people that think Torts will be back next year, which would be great for us. Entertainment-wise, it's fantastic. You never know when he's going to pop off, and it's fabulous. But you're right. I mean, how much that message works for a while, and then it becomes noise, and then he rubs people the wrong way, and he's out the door.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that players, if you were in a locker room and you find out that Tortorella's on a short list of coaches being hired, you cross your fingers. You don't want any part of that. That's what I would think.
I hear you. The one thing I would say, and I've thought about this, whether it's a baseball manager, an NFL head coach, a college coach, a hockey coach, when you got a guy that clearly knows what he's doing and has won before to some level. At some point, I know the easy answer is, you can't get rid of all the players, we get rid of the coach. Well, why can't you make an example of some of the players from time to time? For instance, and I know we're not in Denver, so I don't know the particulars of this, but just using this as an example, that's all this is. You had a coach in Mike Malone who was able to have that group of players come together, granted one of the best players on the planet, but good enough to win an NBA title. This year, I believe they're 15 games over 500. I know fighting to stay out of the play-in because the West is so good, but they're 15, now 16 games over 500 after winning last night. Why can't you, I think this is deeper than the players, but if the problem was the messaging is not getting through anymore, well, why can't you send one of the guys who's not getting the message anymore? Get him the hell out of here. Because you know the coach knows what he's doing. You know the coach knows what he's doing.
Yeah, if it was that easy sometimes. You know, it's the salary cap implications, finding a team that wants to take him on. What are you getting back? Are you giving up on a particular season? You know, I mean, a lot of these general managers, they make these decisions and they're locked into these contracts.
Well, and maybe that, and you're right, maybe that is the reason for it.
But I just feel like then you're chasing your tail trying to find a guy that's going to coach these guys the right way, the way the guy you just fired was doing.
Yeah.
I'll give you an example close to home. You know I'm very close to the Rutgers program, so you know that. The idea that people would want Steve Peichel fired after 3 years ago, they wanted to build a statue for him. Nothing has changed in the way he coaches.
Yeah.
So you got to assemble the right guys. And all right, it didn't work this year. Well, next year will be better. But, like, you know he knows what he's doing. You know he can coach. So, like, why are you trying to reset the whole program or in this an NBA team or an NFL team?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, you have the young guys. Now, I understand Duke made it to the Final Four. But yet that was a team, as we talked about, looked like boys versus men when they ended up losing. And then you have, of course, Rutgers having a down year with the two best young guys on the same team,
sure.
You know, other than Cooper Flagg. Like, you wonder if that, like, the winning formula isn't getting the best high school kid any longer. You know?
I mean, you listen to Pitino, he's not recruiting them anymore because it's become more of a professional men's type of game. And that's why the transfer portal has become so important. The problem is, as you know, is the money is now an issue. It's not just about recruiting and developing because no one stays anymore. The whole college game has changed. My only point was, you know, you got a guy that knows how to coach and knows what he's doing. Like, why do you want to all of a sudden start over?
We were just talking a little bit about the Jets and their draft and what they're going to do. And there really hasn't been a lot of talk around the Jets draft just because I don't think a quarterback will be involved unless Shador drops and just don't know what's going to be available at that point. And they're probably going to be drafting best available. So it's just not as much juice as the Giants. But Justin Fields did speak yesterday, and I'm not really understanding this, at least out of context, what he's talking about. When he was asked about the Jets drafting a quarterback, and he said, "I'm willing to teach, but I'm not really interested in rhetorical questions." Is that rhetorical questions from the media or rhetorical questions from the guy he's willing to teach?
It was from the media.
Yeah. Okay. The way I took it was they asked him, if the Jets draft a quarterback, are you willing to mentor him? I didn't hear the question, but this is how I took it.
Well, it's not rhetorical because there's been a lot of guys who have said, no, I don't want to mentor a guy.
Maybe, but I guess until they do draft a quarterback, there's no reason to answer the question is what he's saying. Like, it's a hypothetical right now. So he kind of answered it by saying, I'm willing to teach, but until they draft a quarterback, why have the conversation?
Yeah, and he's also a younger guy trying to restart his career. Yeah. You know, he's not one of these old-ass veterans that's in there for a year, and then they draft what they know is going to be the future. Like, if the Giants drafted a quarterback, you know that Russell Wilson is there for a year and could tell him what's up, and Jameis Winston the same thing, but you know, Justin Fields, I mean, he's at a point where he's still competing to piece his career together.
I would think Justin Fields comes here thinking he is the starting quarterback, he will be the starting quarterback, and this is his job to lose. That's what I think.
Yeah. I mean, I remember two guys, Ben Roethlisberger said it, and I think it was with Mason Rudolph, actually, when he was drafted. And then Ryan Tannehill said it with Malik Willis.
That they were not interested.
Yeah, not going to.
That's a tough thing. Like, I get it competitively, you know, especially if you think you're the guy. Why do I have to mentor someone? I understand it to some degree, but that also doesn't look great team-wise. Like, if the idea is to go somewhere and the main objective is to win, that you would like to think that everybody would be in line for one common goal, but I do get it competitively. Like, it's a tough thing to, especially because, like you said, he's not a guy just hanging on where he's 34 looking for one more shot of glory. He's still relatively young. He was drafted very high, had a nice college career, and thinks he's going to be a good pro quarterback. Like, I could see how that's a difficult thing to kind of come to grips with, especially when you first get here. And the first time you meet the media, they're asking you about drafting a quarterback.
Well, yeah. I mean, and think too, like, if you're a younger guy like that in Justin Fields and like, hey, this team wants me to start. You know, last year I started at a 4-2 record and then had to get benched for a veteran. This team signs me in free agency, wants me to start. And now I'm getting asked a question about mentoring a guy who would eventually take over this job. I mean, just think about that in any other job situation.
Right.
I know the NFL is totally different, and it's not apples to apples, but just it's from human nature. In any other job situation, that would piss somebody off.
Well, I could still make the case that he still needs to be mentored.
Yeah.
I mean, to some degree.
I agree.
You know, he's not a 30, you know, a 15-year vet in this league. He's still kind of finding his way, and maybe he hasn't been put in the best situations. I don't know. I know last year they won games. Whether he was good or not,
hard to tell, but they were 4-2. And then it was just taken away from him for Russell Wilson. And then to the point where I'm sure he heard the noise too, when Wilson kind of struggled and the team was struggling down the stretch, all we heard was, is, are you going to put Justin Fields under center again? Is Justin Fields going to get a chance again? And that answer was no. He was not given an opportunity.
Yeah. And speaking of the Steelers quarterback situation, as Fields was there and Wilson was there, and now both of them are here. I guess Aaron Rodgers did not announce that he was going to the Steelers on that Pat McAfee big night out last night at PPG Paints Arena. So
I heard Evan say that at some point, that that was... I mentioned it last week.
Yeah, that there was a, that that was a rumor that was going around.
So what was he there for then?
Who?
McAfee. To do a show?
Yeah, just to do a night show.
Oh, okay.
You know, and he just was from Pittsburgh, sold a bunch of tickets, and just did a night show. I don't know what the show consisted of.
Got it.
I don't even know if it was broadcast, but I assume that that was the reason why we were waiting for Aaron Rodgers. It was like, that would have been a perfect night to do it.
Mm.
Would have been awesome.
And we could have ended this charade.
Like, yeah.
Let's go. Got it.
And now I'm like, maybe he is going to retire. If he has it, he has it. Unless there's some sort of weird contract thing that you can't announce it, or it's not official until a particular date because of a roster bonus kicking nonsense or something like that. But I don't know what the hell they would do.
Well, I did see that Sanders is apparently meeting with them. He either did yesterday or he is this week, that he will have a sit down with them, just like all these other teams will. I know, but they have to have a backup plan, because right now Mason Rudolph's it, right? They don't have a quarterback under contract.
That's it. So, when do the Steelers draft? Do you know?
Is it?
Hey, CBS Sports Network, while you're still here and you're leaving us at 8:30, put up that that draft order quickly so I don't have to Google it.
I know
you guys have that right there.
I know
there
they were
all
in the playoffs, but I feel like they have a higher pick than you would think. Maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe they're drafting.
They'd probably have to trade up, right? You would think.
Yeah, I should know this because I feel like I've read it 9 times.
See, they're checked out over there at the network because they're leaving us. And
they're probably in communication with Augusta right now.
Yeah, they're just there. Oh, here we go. All right, they're not in the top 12.
Okay.
You got past the 12? You just got 12? They're 21st.
There you go.
Steelers are 21st. So Shador's not dropping to 21.
You wouldn't think, but I told you last week, I've seen a couple of mock drafts that have him going late first round. Now, I've also seen mock drafts that have him going number 2. So that sounded strange. But you know what I'm saying. 2 to Cleveland.
Didn't even realize it. Like, even my sophomoric mind did not even pick up on that.
It was very strange.
Yeah.
There are some that have him going as high as 2 to the Browns, and some I've seen as low as late first round. So could he be there? Yeah. Could the Steelers trade up him? Sure. Why not?
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.